Amen. I tell you the truth, my dear friends and friends. In the past few years, but especially during the recent presidential campaign, we heard much about East West Defense. Defense, in the language of diplomacy, means essentially you do what you want. We'll do what we want, and we'll agree not to bash each other's brains in. We can. We seek it. We want it. We want to be at peace. And the way to achieve peace, or so we think, is through the time. A French word means a lessening of hostility, or a lessening of tension. We seek a lessening of tensions between East and West. Well, it seems very difficult to do because the tank is always, if you believe the papers, being threatened, being lessened. We have a crisis that threatens the tank. We've been going through this crisis ever since World War II, when the false friendship between the Soviet Union and the United States fell apart in the aftermath of the war, the period we know as the Cold War, and perhaps also the lukewarm war. We had crises in Berlin, in Germany, in Hungary, in Czechoslovakia, in Afghanistan, in Southeast Asia, and right now in Poland. Two great powers. Two mighty islands, two radically different social and political and economic systems confront one another, make a threat to world peace. And they speak, they talk. They send ministers and ambassadors back and forth to negotiate and to come up with some kind of formula to reconcile their differences, or to provide a linguistic smokescreen that those differences exist. They agree to exist together, to coexist without hostility. And the threat of a nuclear holocaust makes that a very necessary path indeed. But why is it that with so much effort and so much of a desire to bring about peace, to bring about détente, it has always been important? That is because nations don't want to give up anything. Détente is an agreement among two individual nations or peoples or people. This recognizes the rights and privileges, the power, the threat, and the honor of one another. It isn't an attempt to do away with the differences. It isn't an attempt to ignore the differences, but to exist as if those differences don't make any difference. The text for today speaks not about this tense, but about reconciliation. We are to be ministers of reconciliation. I think Paul wrote to the Christians which were in Rome, in the 5th chapter, beginning at the 18th verse. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading by us. We implore you in Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he has made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Under the guidance then of God's Holy Spirit, which we pray upon us, let us consider this text, focusing on the word of reconciliation and the deed of reconciliation. We hear in the lesson today the word of reconciliation, that God would reconcile man unto Himself. This is the word which the Lord has given us in the Scripture, that while we were yet enemies of God, God sent forth His Son to be born under a woman, under the law, to redeem them which were under the law. God comes to man to work reconciliation. He does it by proclaiming first of all that word of law. We heard the word of law in the Old Testament reading for today, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that we are in fundamental alienation from God, that we are enemies of God. To work the point with God would mean God would treat us as an equal, and that we could work out some compromise with God. But we are sinners, and God hates sin. God hates those who do sin. If man is to then be reconciled to God, it is not because man can come before the just God, but rather the just God must come to man. And indeed, even in the moment of sin, even in the Garden of Eden, God comes to man and proclaims the promised word of reconciliation, that He would then force someone to detest the head of the serpent, even though the serpent would be is here. So often the epistle lesson from Hebrews, the message of God is that this one who would be the reconciler of man, to be God Himself, the very Son of God, born of the Virgin, He would be shown forth to our nation, and the suffering and death which He would endure on behalf of all nations. For the Word of God is the Word which is God, the Word made flesh, which dwelt among us. And that Word which is proclaimed by the Word of God, by Christ Jesus, He is the Word of reconciliation. Christ took upon Himself the sin, the iniquity of us all, and bore it on the cross in our sin. Christ Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Man, died for man, so that man might be reconciled with God. This is the word of reconciliation, which the Old and the New Testament clearly proclaim, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, proclaiming this reconciliation in the life of Christ, in the death of Christ, in the resurrection of Christ. For God seeks to reconcile us not with vain promises only, but rather with His very Son. God does not work out treaties. God does not work out negotiation or contract with reconciliation. But rather, God makes a contact with man that He will work reconciliation. And He has done it in Christ Jesus. God gives our reconciliation. God proclaims that reconciliation to us. Even more, He calls us to work that reconciliation and to proclaim that reconciliation in the world as if it is. Now we can, by our words indeed, say no other than ours. Rather, God through us brings the message and the news of reconciliation to all nations, no matter how different they are, in their social system, in their political system, in their economic system. For this word of God is for all men, and you are called to be ministers of reconciliation to all men. Come, now as we minister. We minister this word. We proclaim that word which God has given to us in His Scripture. In various languages, in various traditions, we proclaim the same gospel that Jesus Christ reconciles man to God. But we do not merely proclaim with our lips. We proclaim the message of reconciliation with our lives. Even as God proclaims reconciliation, not only in the garden, but on the tree, it stood on Golgotha. So we tell forth the good news of reconciliation by our deeds, by our love, by our acts of charity, our acts of love, our acts of forgiveness. But if God proclaims reconciliation in word and deed, the great deed and word of forgiveness, of suffering and the faith. So we too ought to be prepared with the power of God to proclaim the reconciliation of man and God in our world, in our deeds, with our whole life, even if it means giving of our life, to give witness to God. We are not in this nation, this civilization, all the time too often to die or to suffer physically for reconciliation. And yet throughout the world today, in the countries of Eastern Europe, in the countries of the third and even the fourth world, men, women, and even children suffer for the message of reconciliation. We are called to be ministers to the whole world. And we are to give a firm witness of our faith, of proclaiming and living this word of reconciliation. That God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Dear brothers in the Lord, let us go forth from this place to proclaim with our lips and with our lives the glorious message that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. Before Jesus, God is Christia, Charity Rosen. Are you Christi Vasi, is Nisli Vasi, Christi Jesus? Amen.
Wednesday, January 14th, the teacher is Kevin Snyder.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.